From time to time, we use the word mesmerized to explain the unexplainable. The origin of that word comes from Franz Anton Mesmer, the Austrian physician who adapted Hindu, African, and Far Eastern mystical practices for Western application. Mesmer is known as the father of modern hypnosis. I'm Jabalani LaFall, and on today's Central Standard, we examine just what has happened in human evolution that has allowed for a series of words, gestures, and sounds to unlock a part of a person's consciousness. That plus Stretch, a local multidisciplinary artist and owner of Grinders in the East Crossroads area of downtown Kansas City, has a new show on Animal Planet. It's called Eating Your Enemies. How about some wild boar or anteater? From hypnosis to carnivores on Central Standard after this hour's NPR News. Good morning, Kansas City. This very morning, I talked to a man who said he wanted to retain what he read in a better way. So he went to a hypnotist or hypnotherapist, fell into a trance, he said, using a bell, but remembered everything afterwards. Writer Charles Fort said that almost all people are hypnotics. The proper authority saw to it that the proper belief should be induced and the people believed properly. Moving out of that philosophy into literal hypnosis, you have to be willing to submit to the proper authority. This is Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. Today, we delve into the abstract world of hypnotherapy and its origins and its modern resonance. And joining us now is Teresa Hubbard, a marriage and family health therapist who also practices hypnotherapy. Welcome to Central Standard.
Good morning. Thank you.
Now, what is hypnotherapy and how do you infuse hypnosis in what you do in your counseling services?
Well, hypnosis is a state that we're in. There are different levels of hypnosis. And when I'm working with clients, I work with them into a state of hypnosis that allows them to have an interactive process to help them overcome some struggle in their life, whether it's a trauma or an addiction. It can be a variety of things.
This man I talked to this morning, as I mentioned in the introduction, simply just wanted to retain information in a more effective way.
Right.
Talk about the role of hypnosis in that.
Well, you are working with allowing the brain to open up. We often live in life in a state of shock. And so we take in a lot of information, but it's not staying in. Because that part of our brain isn't open. And so hypnosis allows us to open that part of the brain that allows the information to come in and for us to retain it. And so in that case, since I wasn't there, I'm guessing what his experience was. The hypnotist that he worked with would have been suggesting to his brain that when you're reading information, to allow that part of the brain that would retain that to stay open, that doesn't need to close down.
We learned about Franz Anton Mesmer, who coined the term mesmerized, or people were mesmerized by his work with hypnosis when he adapted ancient culture rituals to modern scientific application.
Right. And there's a lot of different opinions out there about whether he is the father of hypnotism. He actually worked a lot with magnets. And as opposed to just using suggestion or eye fixation, but definitely the information that he gathered in his research was very helpful in us better understanding being hypnotized.
When you say magnets, that's a very interesting thing. I think of Nikola Tesla, who worked with electricity and this sort of ethereal energy that hasn't been scientifically quantified all that yet. Tell me about hypnosis and what an evolution allowed for a series of words or gestures or sounds to unlock a person's consciousness.
Oh, gosh, Jabalani, I don't know that I'm an expert in the history and origins of hypnotism, but I'll do my best. you know, my understanding is that we have information going back to about 3000 BC in regards to the Egyptians and different hieroglyphics that are on, you know, obviously walls of structures and caves, relaying to us, we believe, that people were being hypnotized. Now, my understanding is that most cultures had rituals surrounding hypnotism, but it wasn't something that had a similar word. And so a lot of it was found by accident. You know, if a doctor or a healer or a shaman or a priest in an attempt to help someone, maybe help them calm down or relax, thinking that that would be beneficial to them, which it was. And then in turn, that person being more suggestible. You have to want the change.
Right.
That's part of hypnotism.
Right.
You have to want it.
Right. I was about to ask you, who is most susceptible to hypnotic suggestion?
What I have found in my practice is that there are varying levels of suggestibility. And initially when I, well, from my own experience, I didn't think I could be hypnotized. When I was in college, I was called up on stage and for one of those famous stage performances. And I was sitting there with my eyes closed listening and I thought, this is what it's like to be hypnotized. And the man came up and said, you can't be hypnotized. Could you leave the stage? And I was like, okay. And so my belief was is that I couldn't be. And then I experienced a trauma in 2006. I almost died. And I was okay for a while. But then I started experiencing PTSD symptoms or post-traumatic stress disorder symptoms and went and saw a hypnotist who I thought would be helpful. But I was concerned because I had been told I can't be hypnotized. But I wanted it. I wanted to be better. So regardless of how not suggestible my mind can be, that part of me that wanted to be better was bigger. It had more influence.
Teresa Hubbard, what was that trauma?
I was pregnant, and I had had a pregnancy previous that had been difficult, and so the doctor had started me having sonograms from the time that I was that I found out I was pregnant. So I'd been having a sonogram every week. Come to find out that I had an infection that crossed the placenta and then killed the baby and then in turn almost killed me. I had something called DIC, and unfortunately I was awake when I was in the process of possibly passing. And my husband was there in post-op with me also. And it is obviously something that's still emotional for me, regardless of the trauma work that I've done. But I was okay afterwards until I got pregnant again. And then when I got pregnant, I went into severe shock and PTSD. I was terrified. Well, the last time I was pregnant, I almost died. So how can I be pregnant again and get through this calmly and safely? And so I went to a therapist here locally. He's a wonderful man, was very helpful. And I was able to get through that that period. Had a good – the pregnancy was rough, but made through it very well. But, of course, it piqued my interest in regards to hypnotherapy and hypnotism because it was effective for me, even though I had been told in the past that I couldn't be hypnotized. And so that's what started my journey in regards to hypnotherapy.
And we thank you very much for sharing so deep and so personal a story here with us, Teresa Hubbard. You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 FM KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. We hope that you're mesmerized by our topic this morning, Modern Applications for Hypnotism. Our guest is Teresa Hubbard. She's a marriage and family therapist who's just related a very harrowing and very powerful personal story and how hypnotism is helping her heal. Kansas City, have you been hypnotized before, and would you be willing to submit to hypnosis to root out something you want to change? 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also reach us at centralstandard@kcur.org. Facebook is also an option as well. And on Twitter, we are at KCURCST. How much does environment, Teresa Hubbard, play into hypnotic suggestion? Could I, for instance, right now, talk to somebody in their car real slowly and say, you are loving what's happening on this radio.
If they wanted to take that in, I wouldn't suggest it. I do create CDs for clients, and I tell them, you cannot listen to this in the car.
Right. Because what happens? We do get into trances.
We do get into trances.
When we're in a car.
Right.
Get lost in.
Oh, we're in trance the majority of the time. I mean, I think research shows now that 90% of the time we function in our subconscious. Really, only 10% of the time are we very present.
Right. And so the trick is to be more present.
Present, yes.
More present.
To be more present. Yeah, I mean, we function so much. Even in when I was speaking with Matthew about, instances where I use it in marriage and family therapy, like working with a couple, that's in a fight. They're both in a trance. I mean, they don't realize it, but they are. And that's why they have such a hard time breaking it.
Right. And obviously, I'm a journeyman on that subject myself. When you're working with a couple, the couple is stuck in past hurts,
yes,
past memories,
yes,
anxious about potential future stuff.
Right.
So how do you get them back to present, and how does hypnotherapy work?
Right. Excellent.
In that regard.
Yeah. Excellent question. Well, often, as you know, looking at yourself, my guess is if you are honest with yourself in those arguments with your significant other, that you regress to a certain age. Maybe you're 12. Maybe you're 14. And we fight like that. I mean, it's amazing to watch. And so hypnotherapy, what I do in my particular practice, I was trained differently than a lot of hypnotists. There's a place in Issaquah, Washington called the Wellness Institute. And they teach us how to grow up emotionally. And so during the hypnotherapy, I am really helping age their adult part so that they can have a discussion with their significant other at closer to their chronological age, as opposed to, that when they were 12 and they had a huge trauma in their family, and emotionally they go back to that age when they're arguing.
Repeat that again, because I believe this is a W-O-W, wow moment.
Okay.
For a lot of people listening to this program right now.
Okay.
In the present moment, or in the state of trauma, in a state of duress.
Right.
We do what?
We age regress to various ages. I mean, I've worked with clients who age regress to young, 4 or 5 years old emotionally. But we go to different places that we have. I work with teenagers. Being a teenager is a significant period in our life, as we're very aware. And we can have all sorts of trauma that happens that stunts our emotional growth. And so if we experience something that it feels familiar to that particular incident, our mind goes right back there. Right back there.
You just snapped.
I did snap.
Are you hypnotizing me?
I am not. We can do that later.
We're going to go to Elaine in Kansas City, Missouri. Elaine, welcome to Central Standard.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to quit smoking desperately, and I've tried every drug, and I'm thinking that hypnotherapy might be the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to know, in Kansas City, where can I go? What can I do?
Oh, sure. I have two hypnotherapists in my office that do a smoking cessation program. And it is different than what you would go to at like a hotel or something where you can pay like $70 and you're there for 2 hours. This is, working on the emotional issues, our anxiety, going back to why it is that we smoke. The emotions that are connected to that, the incidences around us, what it provides us to smoke. Smoking in and of itself is hypnotic. I mean, we are in a trance.
You're seeing the smoke wafted into the air.
Yes, and you're deeply inhaling, that smoke. Yes.
Right, as you would during a powerful meditation with regular oxygen.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so it's shifting that, that hypnotic state to one that is more functional. And then eventually, over time, getting you to that place where you can be present and not having the need to escape whatever the current stressors or anxiety is.
Right. And also the thing about smoking is very ritualistic, too.
Very.
Fire.
Yes.
Breathing. Yeah. Smoke.
Yes.
community.
I want to quit.
Yes, but there are definitely some programs in regards to hypnotherapy in the Kansas City area that I don't know if there's going to be a link to my website, but you're welcome to get in touch with me and I can connect you with those people.
Wonderful. I will do that. You'll be hearing from me soon.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Elaine, for contributing to this conversation on hypnosis. You mentioned that hypnotherapy might be different from going to a hotel for 2 hours and paying $70. What is the process of being hypnotized actually like versus some sort of power suggestion guided meditation? Some sort of be your best self right now.
Sure.
Spin around. You have 12 reasons that you should change right now.
Right now, right. Well, the difference in regard to that versus hypnotherapy is that, you know, we all have resistance. And often we don't know why. And regular hypnosis doesn't address the resistance that we have. If we're open to suggestion and our brain wants to take in that suggestion and there's not any resistance there, then great. Like I've worked with clients that have stopped smoking for a while, but then within 6 months or a year or 5 years, they're back there. So their brain took it in for a while, but then it said, not really. I'm not really ready to go there because that issue is still there. Now, for some people, it's powerful and they stop smoking forever and it's great, but that's not my experience with the majority of people.
Is it a trigger that makes us not only regress to an age appropriate response to external stimuli,
mm-hmm.
but also a memory that says, oh man,
oh yeah,
I gotta go have a drink, I gotta go have a smoke,
definitely,
I need to take a walk, whatever?
Yes, and trigger is exactly the word that I use. Mm-hmm.
So how do you infuse triggers and hypnosis
mm-hmm.
into your practice?
Yeah. Well, when we're doing hypnotherapy, triggers are involved. We are working on raising the emotional experience that someone's having in regards to that trigger, but then providing them the opportunity to have a corrective experience, maybe where they have a voice or maybe where they have the power that they couldn't have or gosh, it can be so many things. And so invoking the trigger, allowing them the opportunity to have a corrective experience. But that's where I help them. I encourage them. I don't direct them. I'm there for them. I'm their support. Teaching them, you know, we only know what we know. And it's helpful if we can find people who know a little bit more than we do. Or a lot more than we do, depending on the situation, that can give us tools that we didn't know were available. And so often I'm teaching clients things that they just didn't even know were an option. It just never entered their consciousness.
816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or email us at centralstandard@kcur.org. @KCURCST is our Twitter handle. Facebook is also an option. We're talking about the power of suggestion and hypnosis and hypnotism and its role in modern therapy. What are people? We just talked to Elaine, who called in from Kansas City, Missouri, not too long ago. What are people, Teresa, trying to discover or heal by the time they come around to hypnotherapy? Like they tried everything, but by the time they come around to hypnotherapy, which is esoteric and abstract to most people.
Mm-hmm.
What are they trying to discover?
Oh, it is a variety of things. For some people, it's who am I? I don't know who I am. I've been living a life based off things that people thought I should do, and I just want to figure out who I am. So can you help me figure that out?
Right, and that's a turning point that tragically some people never get to.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So when you get to that point,
mm-hmm.
what's the first conversation?
Oh, gosh. Well, for me, I work on history. I want to know them. I want to understand their process before we get to the hypnotherapy part, what their experience has been, what their environment currently is, what it's been in the past. And then helping them, encouraging them, supporting them into trying, you know, various things. I do other work around the hypnotherapy before we get that. I do some preparation, definitely, wanting to benefit people in those hypnotherapy sessions as best that I can. exploring their work environment and their relationships, and then allowing them in the hypnotherapy experience to feel, I mean, really, what feels good in my body. Most people don't connect the thoughts that they have with their body experience. Like, I was in a session this morning, and I just asked the person that I was with, you know, if I say the word power, what does that do to your body? And he said, well, that's weird because my chest is tingling and my arms are warm. And that's weird. Why would that do that? And I'm like, I don't know. But maybe we can find out what power means to you. And then in the hypnotherapy session, that's the word that we focus on, is power. So when's the last time you experienced power? It can be a positive thing or it can be a negative thing. And really understanding what those things mean to somebody. Most people just aren't aware.
What about the word control? Does the word control ever come up in any of these sessions?
Almost always. Yeah, sure. I mean, we want to control most everything. And we do it differently. But if we can, it reduces our anxiety. If we feel like we have control over whatever, other people, situations, makes us less fearful if we feel like we have control. Control comes up very often.
Mm-hmm. We got John and KC Moe. Welcome to Central Standard, John.
Good morning. Glad to be on your show.
You're already in the afternoon, John. You're futuristic.
Yeah. The question I had is, you started your show about talking about the gentleman who wanted to be hypnotized to be able to retain more of what he read. And I have a daughter that struggles in college. She has some learning disabilities. And I'm just wondering if something along that line through Ms. Hubbard would be able to maybe help her retain some of the college material if she reads, and does she do that?
Oh, gosh, John, I think it's a great idea. I think when we struggle with an area in our life, doing everything that we can, exploring all different possibilities is our responsibility to ourselves. And so, and really everybody around us, the people we're in close relationship with, I think it's worth a shot, you know, trying to figure out where her blocks are, you know, what she is resistant to. It could be so many things, but I definitely think it's worth the time and the effort.
Thank you, John, for calling in with that question. Speaking of which, what are the ethical considerations of hypnosis? I was watching a documentary recently and talked about Bob Marley being in a trance when he was on stage because of music, because of these audible triggers.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have visual triggers.
Yes.
Some people have smell.
Yes.
Triggers.
Yes.
Even taste.
Yes.
Definitely. All of the five senses.
All of them. Yes.
Is there a risk that people would be hypnotized and not come back?
No.
No risk.
There is no risk that you can be hypnotized and not come out. There's been no, as far as I know, in the last, well, probably the latest research would have been a few years ago, of nobody that came out of hypnosis. Hypnosis is really a state of deep relaxation. Now, there are very different opinions about the levels of hypnosis. So whether that is someone who is, I think from 3 levels, and there's a scale, I think, that goes to 50 levels of hypnosis. But still, we are in a state of really deep relaxation. So even over time, if we're at that 50th level, we're going to come out of it.
Sort of like the concept of Christopher Nolan's psychological thriller Inception. And speaking of which, have you ever been asked by an advertising agency or marketing agency to sit in on a focus group?
No. I mean, I know that they do, but it's not something I've participated in.
Right. In talking about the power of suggestion, mm-hmm. and you saying hypnosis is never sort of permanent.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the role of the social science in the suggestion from the images on TV or from the music.
Sure.
On radio.
Sure. Well, we definitely, like you had mentioned, use all of our senses. And for me, mine is... Well, all of them, but smell. Smell is a big one for me. I react to that. So they are looking for the things that, you know, appeal to this group or that group, or trying to hit all the different groups. So like visually, I think about going to the grocery store and seeing air fresheners, and some of them had the scratch and sniff on it. You know, some people are going to respond to the smell or the pretty flower or the name that they call it. And so, you know, they're looking for those things that people will respond to. Hypnotized or not, we're all suggestible, right? I mean, even when you think about your relationships, you know, someone can tell you something about yourself over and over and over, and you can start to believe it.
Right.
Whether you're hypnotized or not.
Right.
Right. And you are, to a degree,
right,
hypnotized anyway.
You are getting worse. You are getting worse. You are getting worse over and
yes,
over again repetitively.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Another of our listeners writes in and says, I want to be in love with my wife again and save our marriage. Could hypnotherapy help? Can you talk about dual immersion hypnosis?
Sure.
You go in and you go in.
Yeah. Yeah. I do double induction with people. It's a very
double induction.
Yes. Yeah.
The Hypnosis Hall of Fame.
Yeah. It is a very powerful experience. It's not where I start. But when I'm working with couples who individually are working on their issues and they're improving, but there is a resistance, a very strong competitiveness, a resistance to be empathetic or to provide grace or understanding. I will do a double induction with a couple where I put one under, or actually I put them both under at the same time, and then I do a session with one while the other person is there. And in an interesting way, they're hypnotized, but they're present. They're really conscious, and I work with them on preparing for that. So whether we use ice or – go ahead. You have a question.
I do.
Okay.
How does the person not under hypnosis react
when
they see perhaps an emerging pain in the other person?
Typically tears. And I am, you know, I am obviously focused on the one, but there's been preparation work. They know what's coming. But it is often a deep empathy and sadness and understanding. And I've never had a double induction end where the other person didn't say, you know, I've heard that 10 times, 100 times, but I didn't get it until just now. Now I get it.
And now we get it. Our guest is Teresa Hubbard, a marriage and family therapist who uses hypnosis as part of her treatment. We've been discussing the modern applications for hypnotism. Thank you so much for coming and sharing your story and helping us think higher.
Thank you.
We're going to take a quick break. When we return, we talk to a KC-based artist and restaurateur, Stretch, about his new show on Animal Planet. Central Standard returns in just a moment.